This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson, too. It's a cold start to the day. Many areas in the single digits and teens this morning. Looking at Endon, Roseau has the lowest temp at this hour at 4 degrees. The National Weather Service says these temps are generally 20 degrees below normal. There is snow in Alberta and Saskatchewan this morning, and some extending into Montana. The snow is expected to begin this afternoon in western North Dakota and move east tonight. The heaviest snow should happen tomorrow. Far northeastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota may escape this snow or receive a much smaller amount.
And with snow in the forecast, Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On is looking for a bump in the market to price unpriced bushels.
Because in the long run, it's going to be a great thing. And we know that especially parts of Iowa into Wisconsin really need the moisture right now, and it looks like they're going to get it. And so it's a good thing. No one wants it, obviously, but, you know, in the long run, it's going to be beneficial. So, you know, the market seems to kind of be cautious that, you know, it wants to maybe do something here. We also know that Managed Money lifted 40,000 contracts of corn last Tuesday to Tuesday. It wouldn't surprise me if they want to kind of lift some more coming into this end of March report, which is on the 28th. So you could be seeing some of that buying happening as well from Managed Money.
The Federal Reserve will be shedding light on interest rates later today. The federal funds interest rate is expected to remain unchanged at 5.5%. Many analysts expect the Fed to begin cutting rates at its June meeting.
After months of work on the farm bill, Democrats and Republicans remain stuck on key provisions of the bill. House Republicans have sought cuts to nutrition and conservation funding to pay for other parts of the bill. However, Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow continues to say that is a non-starter.
I had said that I will not have my legacy cutting food assistance for Americans. That if that's the way you have to get a farm bill, or taking away conservation money from farmers, that if that's the way you have to get a bill, then, you know, we'll continue 2018 for another year, whatever.
Stabenow made her comments during the AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington, D.C. Stabenow's legacy takes on greater significance since she's not running for re-election.
The Minnesota Corn Growers Association is one of many ag groups on Capitol Hill this week. President Dana Allen Tully said the topics being addressed include the farm bill.
There is some optimism out here about getting it done before we go into the before we go into 2025. And then also, you know, talking with EPA on getting our waiver for 2024 so that unleaded 88 is able to be offered year-round is also a critical issue that we've been talking with.
The Central Plains Dairy Expo underway in Sioux Falls. Forage Genetics International National Alfalfa Agronomist Randy Welch is part of a panel discussion on alfalfa in the dairy feed ration.
And we have a local farmer that's a dairy farmer near Watertown. 2,600 cow dairy is going to be talking about how he uses alfalfa in his diet, and more specifically in his operation of one of our products called Harv Extra, which is a reduced lignin alfalfa, which is very highly digestible, very high quality alfalfa, gives very consistent forage quality, which farmers, when they're dairy farmers and are using alfalfa in dairy diets, it's very important to have a consistent feed.
And the session will also cover the resiliency of alfalfa.
A university specialist actually from California is going to be talking about growing alfalfa in more droughty conditions, and certainly California things that we want to stress and review on growing alfalfa when conditions may not be ideal.
The cow-cow market continues to climb. The national average direct price for cutter cows topped $104 per hundredweight last week. That compares to $85 a month ago. That has also increased the wholesale market for the 90% lean boneless beef going into hamburger meat. A year ago, the price was $269 per hundredweight. Tuesday's price was approaching $3.34 per hundredweight. The upcoming grilling season and tight cow numbers all contributing to those higher prices. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota House Agriculture Committee reviewed a proposal to provide climate-smart farming. This includes incentives for farming practices in the karst region of southeastern Minnesota. Fairmont Representative Bjorn Olson supports the proposal, but admits more work needs to be done.
You know, when you introduce it on a Monday and then it gets a hearing on a Tuesday, there's not a lot of opportunity to have it looked at. We understand that we've had conversations for a full year with a lot of outside organizations, a lot of groups, and I'll tell you, you know, the issues like so where the funding's coming from, that's an issue. We're not happy with it. Talk about the goals at this current juncture with the amount of funding that's available. The goals are unrealistic.
Despite those challenges, Olson advocated for the bill.
And I will advocate for how great agriculture is and how great our farmers are and how sustainable they are moving and how wonderful we can do this and what a great steward we can be of the land. I'll stand there every single day and take that shot just to remind people that what we do as farmers is good for the land. We can do even better.
Northfield Representative Christy Purcell is sponsoring this bill that promotes regenerative agricultural practices such as cover crops and no-till farming.
This is really focusing for the first time as a pilot project in the southeast karst region of the state. The idea is give it a shot, figure out where the challenges lie before then rolling it out statewide. Also, this really also has an element in with the precision fertilizer use. We've talked a lot about nitrogen in this committee. We've talked a lot about fertilizer. And so this is wanting to continue to have that conversation. And in the conversation that we've had around some other bills looking at nitrate in the water, to have this as another tool in the toolbox and have another opportunity to be tackling this issue.
The bill will move to the Environment Committee before it returns to the House Ag Committee.
Feeder pig prices are trending higher. This past week, early weaned feeder pig prices were near $57 a head. That's an increase of nearly $20 from the beginning of the year. The 40-pound pigs have seen an even bigger increase. Last week's price was near $93 a head, up from $48 a head a few months ago. Recent strength in the futures market has helped generate these higher prices for feeder pigs.
The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council was on the scene to see a demonstration of a new firefighting foam made from soybeans. Soybean Checkoff Senior Director of Product Development and Commercialization, Mike Youngerberg, says this bio-based product works as well as the current firefighting foam.
The current product has had what they call the PFAS, you know, the forever chemicals in it. The state of Minnesota last year banned firefighting foams as of the 1st of this January. So any of the departments in the state of Minnesota that had, you know, the previous firefighting foams can't use it. So they're kind of, you know, really looking now for what is that alternative product.
Soybean farmers, firefighters, and industry leaders from throughout the country participated in this soy foam product demonstration in Dalton, Georgia.
It's a positive for soybean farmers because it builds a market. It's a positive for firefighters, you know, and we have a lot of rural fire departments. A positive for our rural fire departments, you know, health and safety, and kind of one of those win-wins all the way around.
Earlier this year, USDA projected a 24% decline in annual net farm income. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack remains hopeful the situation will improve.
I still believe that we will see a better income than what is projected. Oftentimes, that first projection is oftentimes quite pessimistic. And I'm hopeful that we'll see an uptick in income over the course of the year.
Vilsack said U.S. agriculture could withstand a downturn in the economy due to 3 years of strong farm income.
Which has created strong liquidity in farm country, both in the ability to both meet short-term and long-term responsibilities and financial requirements.
The Japanese Agriculture Ministry has purchased more than 122,000 metric tons of food quality wheat from the United States and China, and Canada, rather. Japan is the sixth largest wheat importer and typically tenders for wheat three times per month. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. potato industry relies heavily on trade and overseas exports. While potato exports have risen dramatically over the past 25 years, the industry is always looking for ways to expand the overseas markets. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
At the recent AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington, D.C., several commodity group leaders gathered to discuss ways to rebuild export markets and improve overseas demand. Among them was National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles, who had this to say about the discussions and the future of U.S. potato exports.
We have very diverse channels of trade processed. That is by far the biggest category that's being exported around the world, frozen potato products. You have fresh, you have dehydrated potato products. You've got chips. You have fresh potatoes that are being shipped exclusively to make chips in a foreign market.
A recent study showed how much the potato industry relies on exports and the impact those exports have on the U.S. economy.
We asked Michigan State to do a study of just the export section of our business, which is about 20% of all of the farm gate value of potatoes has to be exported. Roughly 34,000 jobs in the United States are directly supported by those potato exports, as well as you have about $4.78 billion. This is both direct and indirect economic activity generated for the U.S. over those annual operations of just our exports. It's a huge deal for us.
According to Quarles, U.S. potato exports have risen dramatically over the past 25 years, and though it's the same markets that are doing the importing, the order has changed a little bit.
When you look at who the top markets were for us, this is back in 1999. It was Japan, it was Canada, and Mexico. Today, it's Mexico, Japan, and Canada. The order has changed, but it's still those top three countries. The magnitude of the increases is really striking. For Japan, our exports have increased about 80% to Japan. Pretty impressive. Canada, 151%. The amazing one is Mexico, up almost 700%.
That was National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
We're down 6 cents for Minneapolis wheat right now, 6.49¾ a quote. Chicago wheat for May down 8½. Hard red winter wheat, May down 8¼. May corn, 1½ lower, 4.38. New crop down 0.75 cents. May soybeans, 11.92¾, 7¼ higher. And new crop soybeans also gaining 7¼ cents. On the farm calendar, the Red River Watershed Management Board has their conference going on today in Moorhead. It started yesterday. The Red River Farm Network will be broadcasting from that joint conference, their 25th annual, for our midday show today. The NDSU planter test stand schedule for our beet growers continuing. They're at Hillsboro today, tomorrow. They're at Valley Plains Equipment. And that Central Plains Dairy Expo is continuing. That goes on through tomorrow. It is being held in Sioux Falls. Educational sessions, a big, big trade show, and a lot of industry experts on hand for that as well. The Central Plains Dairy Expo. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.